Well, federal MPs have returned to Parliament for the final sitting week before the election on the 2nd of July. Yep, we're almost there. The government will use tomorrow's budget as its launch pad for the 8-week campaign. Tax cuts, changes to super, and more money for schools, some of the highlights. Our political editor, Alison Carabine, joins us. Alison, good morning.
Good morning, Fran.
So the government's going to be wanting to get this campaign off to a good start. That's where the budget comes out, Ali. Mm-hmm. But the Treasurer concedes it won't be a typical pre-election budget of generous handouts, but there will be some tax cuts, both personal and company.
Yeah, the Prime Minister was setting the general framework for the budget last night when he was on Sky, and he was pointing out that that jobs and growth will be at the heart of the budget. As such, there will be a tax cut for middle to high income earners, anyone over $80,000 a year. This is to try and curb bracket creep. It will involve lifting the $80,000 threshold, maybe to somewhere around the $85,000 mark. That's not going to deliver too many dollars to taxpayers, but it will at least give the government something to go out and campaign on. It is due, or it will be due, to come into force July 1, conveniently just one day before the election. No tax relief, however, for lower income earners, Fran, simply too expensive. There will be some tax relief for companies, but it's unclear when the start date will be. Unlikely to be this year, Fran. Instead, the budget likely to set out a pathway to cutting corporate taxes over about the next decade. Here's the Prime Minister.
There is substantial tax reform in the, or tax changes in the budget. We're not fiddling. This is going to be a very critically important economic document.
Not sure how substantial those tax cuts will be, Fran, but there's the Prime Minister indicating tax relief will be the centrepiece of the budget, not your average budget because of its proximity to the election. There will be something in it for lower income earners, probably in the shape of tax concessions on superannuation, and that will be funded by curbing some of the excesses at the other end of the scale, Fran.
Yes, I think the Treasurer's line is that lower income earners will be better off because the whole budget is geared towards growth. That's the narrative, I think. The budget will also include some more money for schools, Alison, $1.2 billion it was announced yesterday. Is this the government playing catch-up with Labor?
Well, it looks very much like that, Fran. Education, always a strong point for Labor. The government's cause not helped by its steadfast refusal to fund the final 2 years of Gonski. It has, however, come up with some extra dollars for schools, $1.2 billion, that they will be spent over 3 years between 2018 and 2020. This money tied to improved performance, better literacy, better numeracy results and so forth. But it does compare unfavourably with the $4.5 billion in extra money Labor is promising over just 2 years, 2018-19, here's Bill Shorten.
For the last 3 years, they've taken bucketfuls of money out of schools. Now, at the last minute before an election, they want to replace it with a cupful back, and they expect people to fall for that trick. It is the case that if you vote Liberal, you are voting to cut school funding.
But, Fran, the government quick to point out that its $1.2 billion is fully budgeted, Labor's much bigger offering not yet funded, and it would rely on a fairly steep rise in tobacco taxes to pay for it.
That's right. Labor says it's got the plan there to fund it, but the plan, one of the bits of the plan, as you say, is increasing tobacco taxes. Bill Shorten's put out a book today, Alison, for the common good. And his publisher says the author, Bill Shorten, reflects on the values and beliefs that led him to devote himself to the Labor movement and stand for the nation's highest office. And Bill Shorten writes that if he becomes the Prime Minister, he will run the country the same way he ran the AWU when he was a union leader. Which is that a promise or a threat, I guess some would be saying?
Well, the government would certainly be portraying it as a threat. This book, For the Common Good, it's part autobiography, part election manifesto from Bill Shorten, $28 paperback, released today. He seeks to draw a line, Fran, once and for all, beneath his role in the downfall of first Kevin Rudd and then Julia Gillard. He wants to put all of that behind him. Some interesting reflections on how he would approach being Prime Minister. He writes in this book that he would take the same approach he did when he was leader of the Australian Workers' Workers Union. He'd use the same negotiating, people-empowering techniques. He says he still thinks like a union organiser. Having a union pass, nothing to be ashamed of, but he is opening himself up to another anti-union campaign by the government.
Okay, Fran. And just very briefly, the High Court today will hear Senator Bob Day's challenge to the new Senate voting rules. What's the chance of this succeeding, do you think?
Not a big chance at all, Fran. This is the challenge against the Senate voting laws the government legislated last month. Now, if it does succeed, then there's unlikely to be a double dissolution on July 2 because the government would have to legislate new voting laws. But it's unlikely to succeed. The constitutional lawyer George Williams says Bob Day has an arguable case, but not a winning one. The bench will probably be of the view that it is up to Parliament to legislate voting laws, which is what it's expected to do.
Okay, Alison, thank you very much.
Good on you, thank you.
Alison Carabine is our political editor, and after 7:30, Deputy Prime Minister Barnaby Joyce joins us, and later in the program too, Labor Senate leader Penny Wong.